Often imitated, never duplicated. The one and only B. Scott. You're listening to The B. Scott Show. Get ready, love muffins.
Look, fans, if you got a problem, I'm pulling up. Strap. Big booty bitch, and I'm pulling on. Trance. I play with them words, I play with them birds. I'm really that. I'm stating facts, 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 facts. When I'm in the kitchen, no water whipping, yeah, yeah, I used to trap. I do a brick like Jordan Woods, I cut a zip off, but right before that, make up what I'm serving, risk go to work, and got us some surgery, cut off the fat. I play with them words, I play with them birds, yeah, yeah, I'm really that. Clutching the rod when I had a warrant, increasing my bond, was fighting two hands. My new A&R threw me in a cross with a couple of rounds, but no one threw that.
Yes, indeed, that was Kevin Gates called Facts. Little Hood. Little Hood. I bet y'all didn't know I had it in me.
Oh, I did.
I got the ratchet in me. And this podcast, we're going to be talking about a lot of facts. A lot of exclusive facts. And this feels good. You know what feels so good about this? For anybody that's ever doubted any of my exclusives in the past. Come on, King Jesus. This is like a victory lap.
It really is.
It is a victory lap. Like we, and what we're talking about, in case some of you have been underneath a rock,
a boulder,
you know, in a hole and can't get out. We are talking about the Gabrielle Union exclusive.
Mm-mm-mm.
And it's potentially one of the biggest exclusives of my career.
That's powerful.
It really is. Because not just because of what we broke, but the implications of what we broke.
Mm-hmm.
The implications of what we broke are so pervasive and far reaching. And this story is just going to keep going and going and going, as we have seen. So about a week ago, I think Gabrielle Union, on a Friday, the Friday before Thanksgiving, the news came out that Gabrielle Union and her other female co-hosts were not returning to America's Got Talent.
Mm-hmm.
And I initially, just off the bat, thought something was weird about that.
Me too.
How do you fire somebody at 10 on 10:30? Oh, the announcement comes out at 10:30 on a Friday before Thanksgiving. You did that specifically because you know that the news cycle typically is slow during Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a classic PR move.
Mm-hmm. But they didn't announce anything else about the show for the next season except for the fact that these two got fired.
Exactly.
That's bizarre in and of itself.
And it felt personal.
Very much so.
It felt personal. So that came out on Friday. And then, you know, a little birdie kind of flew in into my stratosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And started whispering in my ear as to why Gabrielle Union was fired. And typically, we're the ones that announce when people are fired.
Right. That's kind of been our thing. Is you were saying that, you know, it's probably one of the biggest exclusives. What I was thinking, I was asked the other day, you know, like, how many have we had and what do you think is the biggest one? Mm-hmm. And I was running them through and I was like, you know, we announce a lot of people getting fired.
A lot of people getting fired.
We announce a lot of people getting fired.
Yes. We're usually the ones that are like, oh, okay, she got, and that's a wrap for her. But in this case, someone else announced that the people were fired, and we came with the reason why.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why that we now know is that Gabrielle Union complained about problematic situations that occurred during the season as to which she was on America's Got Talent. And our exclusive, I mean, and right, you can go to lovebscott.com to read it, but Gabrielle's contract was not renewed after being the number one talent on the show, NBC, and network television. She set the record for the golden buzzer. They only replaced the women and blacks at Simon's whim. She wouldn't walk away from $12 million because she was busy. Based on the weekly interactions on social media, by the time AGT finale aired, Gabrielle was the number one talent on network television for 2019. Why would someone's option not be picked up with such extreme success? Then the source went on to say, social media engagement is the new measuring stick for the talent, and Simon isn't on social media. Julianne and Gabrielle both way higher ranked engaged than Howie. The idea of the network wants to switch things up only applies to women and black folks. Nick Cannon wasn't crazy when he walked away from six figures over how AGT operates. Mm-hmm. And then they went on to say, let's just say that they didn't start racism, homophobia, transphobia, Islamophobia, etc. in season 14.
That's a lot of phobias.
A lot of phobias. All the phobias. they were quite comfortable with
sorry. Just all the fucking phobias. This is phobia fun time.
It's kind of like what happened to Jesse. everything just happened. They were quite comfortable with it all by the time Gabrielle got there. And remember, Nick said NBC stands for nigga be careful.
Nigga be careful. And I guess Gabrielle wasn't careful.
She gotta be more careful. Mm. But, you know,
$12 million.
$12 million.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. Mariah was making like, what was Mariah making? Like 19?
Like 17.5 was what her, it was something like that.
It 17 was, or it was 19. Yeah. Like she was the highest paid. I still think she's the highest paid ever for American Idol. Mm. I still can't get over that. I still can't get over how they, both of them, you know, is. I wish they would have worked it out because there was so much money being made by them.
Yeah.
Her and Nikki. It's like, it was like a good idea just for, I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if just they, sit there, say little words, collect your check.
Right. But I guess people didn't know the backstory as to which what had happened before on the set of Up Out My Face and led to her not having appetite for Nicki Minaj. But anyway, but back to this exclusive. So the story broke. We broke it. And I, you know, typically I get on the podcast and I rant and vent about how we did not get credit or the credit that we deserved. This time is not one of those occasions.
Thank God.
This time is not one of those occasions. This really, from Variety to Page Six to People Magazine to OK Magazine to whoever.
The gamut. BET ran the credit.
God bless BET. Everyone credited us.
Yeah.
And that felt so good.
It did.
And it's because also I think that at this point, like, we have been hitting people upside the head with exclusives over and over and over again. And it's undeniable. And if you try to deny it, then you look whack, because on our Facebook alone, we reached 10 million people. Mm-hmm. Just for the post. That's on Facebook. And then Twitter went viral because all the biggest names in
media,
as well as Black Twitter. Mm-hmm. They all retweeted it with a comment, and then it just started going viral.
And I must say, when we ran it, I didn't think that it was going to do what it did. I had no idea that the story would take off. I really didn't.
Yeah.
I really did not.
And it always, like, these stories always come right when it catches me off guard because I'm doing something, or I'm in the middle of something, and I'm like, oh shit, here we go.
Right.
I got to stop doing it. You know, I was planning, like, I was even trying to plan a little getaway to Miami. And, you know, I was just trying to just do something before. I was like, let me just get my ass on out of here. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, oh, no, your ass ain't going nowhere.
Right.
But because, I mean, when you do an exclusive, Love Muffins, you write the exclusive, it goes out, and then you have to work the exclusive. Mm-hmm. So that means, like, you work it, you mean, like, you try to find more additional information from the source. And we did follow up with a second exclusive.
We did.
But the working of it. And then also in the past, when the working included making sure people properly sourced us.
Yeah.
And now with this exclusive, it just, for some reason, I think the climate has changed too. The climate has changed from when, you know, mainstream publications could take stories and exclusives from Black media and pretend like they didn't get it from Black media. So that time has come to an end. So I think the cancel culture and that, the woke culture, is in this case, helped us.
And I think The Weeknd too.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And also, The Weeknd helped us too because of the fact that most people, their staffs don't work on the weekends. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we this hit us on a Saturday and me and you started working on it immediately.
It was immediate. I was in the middle of a good game of Call of Duty too.
I have been noticing that lately about you. When I call you, you've been playing a very violent game.
I have a lot of stress, and I feel like it needs to come out, so I've been just shooting them up.
You've been shooting them up?
Shooting them up.
Been doing photo shoots?
I have.
You've just been doing the most over there. I call you, it's like, pop, 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 pop. I'd be like, what the fuck is happening?
No, it's good, though.
I was like, Denver, snap out of it. We got an exclusive. All
right, okay, so who said what? Oh, shit, okay.
Right.
All right.
And so the exclusive broke and it went viral. The NBC launched an internal investigation, and we also were made aware of external investigations into how, you know, the behavior of what has happened on the show, the behavior of Simon Cowell, and also how all those things relate to Matt Lauer.
And NBC and the cover-ups.
And how just, they cover up and how they try to protect their client. Because I would never forget, and I would never, ever let them get away with the fact that Matt Lauer had a soundproof office.
He sure did.
With a button that locked the door at, and you couldn't get out.
I forgot all about that.
That is the creepiest shit. So you mean tell me, like, why would you? It's not like you can soundproof a room without anybody knowing.
Right. So or install the lock.
Or install that high-tech type of lock.
In
that,
a corporate building.
Right. So that means if somebody got up and tried to scream and get out of the room, they couldn't, and then they would be raped. Mm. That's the NBC we're talking about. And also, I want to make a point here, and this goes for media companies as well as what celebrities say. You cannot, just because a network or a celebrity denies something or says something is not true, does not mean they're telling the truth. Mm. So how many times have we seen a network or a media company or a celebrity say something is not true and then it turns out to be true?
All the time.
But people on social media, when someone comes out and denies something, they're like, well, look, see, this person said da, 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 da. You don't believe them. This is rule number one now. You don't believe these networks. You don't believe these rich white people who, and most of them are men. So they've been going in on these women.
Yeah.
And they've been going in on these black folk.
Okay.
And in this case, Gabrielle is both. And they were telling her, and then it went on. So after we released our exclusive, of course, there's going to, all the reporters are like, oh, okay.
Something's going on here. Let's start today.
Let me follow up to my sources. Because all they did was to go back to my source and get more information from that source or try to get the specifics from that source. Mm-hmm. Okay. But the source that reached out to me understood our importance. Our importance is we hit the fan base. Gabrielle Union is a black woman. Mm-hmm. And our audience is a black audience. And so we hit the people that are going to get riled up. And then once they get riled up, then the mainstream media gets in on it. And so once that happened, Variety then reached out to our sources and got additional information, including the fact that, you know, Gabrielle, they were complaining that her hair was too black.
Typical.
Her hair, hairstyles were changed too much and they were too black. And, you know, to me, is it, that alone is shocking because Gabrielle Union is so extremely beautiful.
Mm, stunning.
And every style that she's ever rocked, that I have seen her rock on America's Got Talent, is just gorgeous. Like every style. Like I think Larry is her hairdresser and Larry does a phenomenal job. Mm. The texture of it, everything is just so regal and fabulous.
And I've never seen anything that would make me be like, oh, this is extra. You know what I mean? Like, this is weird. Like, why would that even be a thing?
Right. Because she's black.
Exactly.
Because she's black. And then, you know, there was a situation where Jay Leno came on set and made a joke about Asians. Mm-hmm. And she stood up in that situation too.
As she should have.
And I'm pretty sure there's other significant situations.
You know there too. Are.
And they're going to keep unveiling them and pushing them out. And so let me tell you what happened too. So after the situation happened, so after Variety released their follow-up to our exclusive, that's when NBC's PR reached out to me directly on a 10 p.m. I think it's 10 p.m. on Tuesday. Or was it Monday?
Was it Tuesday? I didn't know it was late.
It was. I think it was Tuesday. I think it was the night before. I say.
It was Monday.
I say Thanksgiving Eve. Okay, which is it? I do. I say Thanksgiving Eve. So you mean, so it was Monday. You
think it was Monday? Monday. Yeah.
Okay. So either way, the they got announced they were fired on Friday. We got our exclusive on Saturday. And by Monday or Tuesday, NBC was trying to talk to me at 10 p.m. at night. And got my cell phone. Mm-hmm. How they do that there? How they do that there?
Don't know.
Got my cell phone, honey.
Don't know.
Means, oh, you got some information and we got sources. You know what I mean? They touched me.
Are they watching?
Oh, they can touch me right back. That's what that means. I touched them. They touched me. And I took the call. And
sure did.
And her, the person that called me, and I was ready. Sometimes I'm not ready for situations because I'm just a little bit out of it because whatever. But now, in the last couple of months, I have been ready. Like, ready for all in anything that may come my direction. And that PR person got me on the right night.
You sure did.
I was fully present. And I was ready for her. She hit me with, we just want to, you know, make sure that, you know, you said in your article that it's NBC sources. And, you know, as far as we're concerned, something, that's inaccurate. All I heard was inaccurate.
She said, you know, if it's not anybody employed by NBC, if it's, you know, the production staff or wear wardrobe, they are not NBC employees. Mm-hmm. So we just want to make sure that, you know, your story is not inaccurate.
Yeah. I said, so you call me at 10 p.m. at night to talk to me and tell me who my sources were and weren't? That's why you call? I said, is there anything else? And then I said, I pride myself on being writing articles and exclusives that are accurate. So I think that answers your question.
Oh, you know, I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, it's, right. And then I said, so are you telling me that my source is not an NBC source? It is not employed by NBC? And she said, I'm not trying to say that either. I'm just... She hit you with that. She started shifting gears.
She did, for real.
And I was like, you know... At the end of the day, I said, it's sad that you thought this story would blow over. When the story came and broke on Friday, you sized up the situation, the PR team, and there's probably crisis management team, mm-hmm. sized up the situation and made the mistake of being like, oh, he's just a blogger. He's a blogger. You know, this is a blog, just a blog site. This is going to blow over. You thought it was going to blow over because you're old school PR person. This is a new age of digital and social media, and we hit it right in the sweet spot. Like, we hit it, and people were bored, too. People were bored. Like, over the Thanksgiving holidays
leading up. Home at your family house, they got shit to do.
People are tired of their family. They are over it, and they're looking for an escape, and they get on social media at their grandmama's house, at their mama's house, and they look around and see what's going on. And what they saw was going on was this exclusive about Gabrielle Union getting fired, and she got fired because she complained about problematic situations that was going on in America's Got Talent. Mm. Now, going back to the woman being on my phone. So we were sitting there, I'm talking to her, and I was like, you know, because you thought it would blow over and it didn't blow over when Variety picked it up, now you realize it's time to reach out to the source of the fire. And you're trying to figure out how to put it out, how to, maybe if I was even a rookie enough to make a mistake, to discredit myself or give up my source. Mm.
She tried to, like, every different way.
She tried, and then she tried to pretend like that's what she was trying to do.
Right.
I was like, woman, honey. And I had to back her up. I was like, I've been doing this now for damn near 15, 20 years. I moved here in 2015, so about 15 years.
2005.
I mean, yeah, 2005.
Don't worry, I got you.
Mm-hmm. 2005. So that's about 15 years. I mean, actually, next year will be June of next year. I will be in L.A. for 15 years. I have been doing this. So you think that you're going to call me on damn near the 15th year and I'm going to give up my source?
She thought.
I'm going to say, yep, this is the person who told me. Sorry.
I just like how they had the black girl reach out. No, that's the part that tickles me the most. Like, they had like the PR of like diversity.
It's the same thing when like when there is when a white person does something to a black person, they get black lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we saw that happen over and over again. They did an O.J. Simpson trial. Remember when they went and got the black man?
Uh-huh.
So yeah, that was interesting. And then they followed up. So then it progressed from that to store. More and more information started coming out. More celebrities started to support Gabrielle.
Mm-hmm. Including NBC talent.
Including NBC talent. Including every prominent, a lot of actresses came mm-hmm. out in support. And then NBC released a statement saying that they are working with Gabrielle Union's representatives. They released that to us. And that came not from their black PR woman, but came from the senior vice president of the entire company. Now the shit has really hit the fan.
Right.
The shit hit the fan like when Beyonce hair got stuck. It was in there and they first tried to rip it out, but then they had to turn the fan off and just kind of
can't stop those lips from moving.
So they said that they are working with Gabrielle Union's representatives to figure out what happened, to explore what happened, and they would take whatever appropriate actions necessary. I'm not exactly sure what that means.
I don't know.
But I do believe at this point, Gabrielle's about to get a paycheck.
I would think.
And especially now, what you're seeing now playing out was with Howard Stern coming out and slamming Simon Cowell about how he treats women and talent on America's Got Talent. This becoming exacerbated. It's like it's becoming like very
messy
and snowballing.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that, you know, the reason why Simon, meanwhile, Howard came out against Simon was felt very personal, but it's still adding to the whole shit show that's taking place. And regardless of whether or not the facts of the situation are becoming irrelevant, because now it's the perception is NBC did something wrong. Mm-hmm. NBC was a part of a show and a production company that's doing something wrong. And so that has to be fixed. That has to be remedied. Like something has to happen in order for that to have a resolution.
It was interesting to me that Julianne, who also got fired, came out and was like, you know, I had a great time. Everything was good. But I didn't realize she had two NBC shows coming.
Mm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So she basically picked her side.
For sure.
And that's not cool.
And I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming when she didn't say anything.
Mm.
Because if I went through something similar to a co-host on the show, I would have immediately came out and support. But she didn't, because she has the two shows coming. Mm-hmm. And that's typically, unfortunately, what a lot of people do when they have privilege.
53%.
Yep. That elected Trump. 50% of women, well, white women, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what she did. She just basically said, you know, I
got my checks.
She said, I don't know that hoe.
Basically.
That's what she said. I don't know that hoe. And I actually felt a very similar situation when the whole BET thing was happening with me. There was a lot of people that picked their sides.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of people that picked their sides during that situation. And now to see those same people that are so pro-trans and so LGBT inclusive and so in it, but those same people were the same ones that were saying negative shit about me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget it now. These woke people that are so woke now on Twitter was the same woke people that were talking shit about me at that time, because they picked a side. They picked the side of BET. They picked the side of like, oh, I want to go to BET Awards. Oh, I want, you know what I mean? And at the time, the trans movement hasn't really progressed. It was still there, but it hadn't progressed to where it is now.
Mm-hmm. And gender fluidity and that whole conversation hadn't happened yet. And everybody, they suddenly understand it now.
Yeah.
They didn't understand it.
Yeah. People were flat out calling me shims and this, that, and the other. And BET had a right to do this, and that you should have known.
You can wear it.
You know what I mean? They have a right to tell you what you can wear and what, you know, I don't see the problem with it. And now these same woke people, they woke now.
Right.
But so that's why it's interesting to me a lot of times covering these stories and stuff, because it's just funny to see how, you know, support now is just, you know, it's just like, I wish that it would have been like that back then.
Mm.
But I'm not unfamiliar with someone like a Julianne picking a side of the network that's going to write them checks. And that's what a lot of Black people did around the time when I was disrespected. And at times it's hard for me to see them and talk to them and look at them and pretend like everything is fine.
Right. And they remember.
Yeah. And they remember. And they're so woke now. You so woke. But just a couple of years ago, you weren't that woke.
Right.
You were saying some really transphobic shit about me publicly and privately.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff they were saying privately was way worse than what they said publicly, but the conversations were had. And be clear, all things come back to mama. But anyway, moving on. You know, and I felt almost a duty to support Gabrielle in this situation, because it really touched me how she has supported her son.
Mm-hmm.
And her son is very expressive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, crop tops and, you know, fake nails and the whole shebang. And I love how they are supporting him.
Yeah, it's another day.
And also, you know, Dwayne posted a picture from Thanksgiving, and he was basically saying, you know, he loves his family. Right. And there was another picture before that where he said, I love my girls.
Mm.
So he labeled you know, his daughter that he had with was by surrogate with Gabrielle, and his son as a girl. And, you know, I'm sure we will be hearing more about that in the future. But I just, that open-mindedness, mm-hmm. that unconditional love that she is showing and exhibited, and also through Dwayne Wade, is something that touched me.
Absolutely.
Because that's something that I didn't have growing up.
And we don't see it.
And we don't see it enough. We don't see it enough. And now we do. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, the person that I'm rooting for, I love her personality. I love how she looked on America's Got Talent. And then I also, now that I see that her supporting her son the way she does, mm-hmm. I had no choice but to ring the alarm.
Like, we rang the fucking alarm.
And that was the precursor for all the stuff that you see now related to Gabrielle Union getting fired from the show and America's Got Talent. And the story is going to continue to unravel as we continue to go on. Mm-hmm. But all these stories are just very, it's just interesting. Like, it's just what you get to hear on the podcast. You get to hear the behind the scenes of how exclusives come about. Mm-hmm. And also to understand that people do have ulterior motives, and people have incentives, mm-hmm. and reasons and duties and connections to things. I mean, would I be as nearly connected to supporting Gabrielle Union had I not seen how she has supported her son? Probably not. You know, so, and mm-hmm. I don't even think that, you know, people would, you know what I mean? I don't think people reading the story would even have that connection.
They wouldn't think that far.
They wouldn't think that far. But I think that far. Yeah, and I feel that far.
Right.
And
it goes into every decision we make.
Exactly.
Into every headline choice, into mm-hmm. every, the way things are structured. Everything plays a part into everything.
Exactly. I mean, and that's a part of the reason, even going back to the Tyga and
Kylie
and him cheating on her
with the actress.
We made a choice not to objectify her, mm-hmm. the actress, in a way that was just all about her being transgender. Mm-hmm. And that's because at that same particular time, I was dealing with labels and being objectified and all this hate and things that people were saying about me. And that made me not want to do that to her. And I don't think, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, you know, right. It's just interesting how these stories, you know, people think that we just get the information and we just flop it out there. But there's a lot of things to consider. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the things that I consider are things that had happened to me. Or things that happen into my community. And I do belong to different communities. I belong to the LGBT community. I belong to the Black community. I also belong to just like anybody that feels like they don't belong to any community. Right. I've never fit in anywhere in my entire life. I've always been stared at, always been looked at, always been put down, always been objectified in some way or another. It's like I just couldn't fit in if my life depended upon it. Like, why couldn't I just, when I was growing up, I was like, why can't I just be one thing? Why do I got to be Black and white? And then you can put Native American in there. And then why can't I just be gay? Why I got to be gender nonconforming? Why mm-hmm. I got to be so damn pretty in the face? Why can't I just, you know, even so many right. things? It's like, God was fucking with me. He was really fucking with me. He was like, you are going to get up out of this town. I'm going to make it so uncomfortable for you. You got to go.
You just got to go.
And that's real. And so anything that I do, any exclusive, anything, like, those things definitely factor into it. And I do believe those things factor into other people, too. Mm-hmm. The same reasons why, you know, people with privilege act in a certain way is because they grew up with that privilege.
Right.
They're thinking about how to maintain their privilege. They are, you know, are not used to being ostracized or discriminated against. So when you bring these type of accusations to them, is so unheard of because they haven't experienced it in their life. Mm-hmm. People are like, oh my God, what do you mean? How could this happen to someone? Okay, well, I'm like, yep, this happened because it happened to me. Oh God. So I definitely wish Gabrielle and her family nothing but the best. And I do believe that she's going to get a big, nice fat check. And if NBC was smart, the moment, and I think now, I think we finally reached a point now, the next time we drop an exclusive about somebody, watch the networks or who the powers that be are going to move quickly to settle it. They should have, you know, this, we dropped this on Saturday, and by Monday, they should have already reached out to her and her people and settled it. Mm. They should have shut her right up. Because America's Got Talent is global.
Right.
This is just, you know, we just, that's just the American market. And that's just one money-making revenue stream for them that's coming off of this show. So are you going to stop the whole global shindig? And then you still got American Idol
going.
And then
you have Simon looking crazy. Mm-hmm. And he's not only America's Got Talent, but X Factor.
Yep.
So if they, you know, people looking into Simon.
Right.
Into his personal
affairs.
Is
American Idol still going in the world?
Yes.
Okay. So you got American Idol, X Factor, and America's Got Talent. He is right.
But it's not, I don't think Simon's on Idol still.
But he's still associated with
them. Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I mean, Fremantle, yeah, probably.
Yeah, and he's one of the creators. I think he may be involved.
I think so. You're
if he was smart, I'm remember. Sure he negotiated that.
But the thing is, if they you know, uncover what they uncovered about Matt Lauer or anything similar with Simon Cowell, now that he has all this attention, right. All of those brands are going to go to shit.
Right.
More or less.
Yeah. And we know that this type of behavior is not a one-off.
Right.
You know that if she's complaining about this, this is some type of behavior that Simon Cowell and the others have been doing for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And that's only this, you know, these stories and this media attention is going to encourage the other people to come out.
Yeah. Because we're talking about his professional life. But if we cross into the personal life, mm-hmm. then that's where things get.
And I still think that they are trying to figure out if it's going to blow over. Mm-hmm. I do believe it's likely she will get a settlement, but I also think that they, if they can just let it blow over and not pay her, they're going to do that too. Mm-hmm. I really do believe that. They may try to wait a little bit more. And I think that Howard Stern did her a huge favor. Mm-hmm. A huge favor today when he spoke out against it, because now that's going to make it even more mainstream. And Howard Stern is also a big titan. He's a titan.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a big titan. And so he's a equal, and he's still the biggest man in radio, from what I understand. He's huge. So I'm sure he's going to talk about this on his show to his millions and millions of people. Mm. And now those millions and millions of people also watch NBC. And, and you know, and in addition to, it's going to be reaching more people that probably could have a similar story to share. So I believe that we will be coming back on this podcast very soon, following back up to, you know, this story with more information about how it played out.
NBC Universal, that's like Bravo and them, right?
Yep.
Okay.
It's the whole, it's Bravo, Comcast, all of that, that at the same time is going through something with Byron Allen. Mm. This is about to be in front of the Supreme Court about how, you know, they decided not to pick up Byron Allen's cable networks because he was Black. He feels that it's because he was Black. And they also say that they have some majority owned Black networks, but that he said that's not true, that it's not really that way. And he's also brought up some situations that people had said things, racist things and things like that. So it has a lot of similarities to what Gabrielle Union was saying in terms of, like, you know, it's just an atmosphere and a continuation of an overall just business and network that perpetuates this racism.
And let me tell you what they don't want. If Gabrielle does file suit, that leads to discovery.
Oh yeah.
That means all of those NBC emails and correspondence from, you know, whomever to whatever, that all comes into play.
Yep.
And they definitely don't want that.
Definitely don't want it. And the sad part is that we live in a time now that I think people have seen what Trump has done and how he's done it and how he doesn't play by the rules and how he hasn't really been taken to task for all these things, and they have been emboldened and they think there's a way out of it. And they believe that if someone's telling their truth, they can continue to lie. And if they lie with money behind it, they will prevail. And every day I'm not shocked by what comes out in the news. It's gonna take a lot to shock me. It's just every day is just shocking. You know, I'm sitting there thinking that Gabrielle's doing such a great job. She's so funny. She, you know, everyone's on Twitter talking about her on America's Got Talent, and she's beautiful on the show. And I'm like, yay, you know, this is good. Right. I'm thinking that everything's going great, only to find out that's a shit show. I said, we can't have nothing. Mm. We can't have nothing. There's nothing I can be happy about. It's always something coming along to fuck up a situation that I thought was great. It's true. It's like, it's just like, damn, like, can't she just go there and do a good job and get a good check and just keep it going, keep it moving? We can't have nothing.
Nothing.
You got to get over there. And he's, you know, Jay Leno. I thought Jay Leno, what the fuck is Jay Leno doing there making racist jokes about Asians? It's so fucking random.
It is random.
And that's how you know it's true.
You know it is.
Some shit is so random that it has to be
true. Ain't nobody gonna make this shit up.
Yeah. It's kind of like Our Exclusive. Like, Our Exclusive come so far out of left field, out of nowhere, that they have to be true. And that's why it pisses me off when people doubt them. I was like, bitch, you must be crazy.
Because we decided to concoct this on today.
Right. Right before Thanksgiving. We decided to make all of this up, including all these big names. You know, it's just, it's interesting.
It is.
But this, I think this is the last time we're ever going to be there. Like, I mean, we weren't doubted in this situation, but I think this just concludes that.
Yeah.
Like, we Let's have just, hope, and, you know, and then especially if we get this type of high profile exclusive right, correct, and the first ones to break it. You mean tell me you're going to question some Housewives of Atlanta shit? You mean tell me you're going to question what I said about NeNe? You mean, she said, what now? These same sources, you know, because Bravo and NBC and them same sources gave me the information about NeNe. You get what I'm saying? So don't play with me. Do not play with me, okay? So anyway, moving along. Because we went up and down, side to side about that exclusive. But I'm going to take my goddamn victory lap.
And we should. We should bask in it. We absolutely should.
I'm going to take my victory lap. Shit. Well, after this year, I'll take that lap. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it in Miami. And on New Year's, I'm going to be like, yep, I did that. Yep. That happened.
Done did it.
And then probably what's going to happen right before I'm going to be taking the victory lap, we're going to get another exclusive. Shit. I'm like, well, damn, I can't even have my vacation. Got to work. Because when the exclusive hits, we got to drop everything we're doing.
Basically.
You got to drop the ballot game you playing.
I'll be pulling over on the side of the road.
Getting
out the pool.
You heading somewhere, got to head back home.
Okay, let me turn around.
Got to get to my computer. Most of me is like, let me sober up. Shit, what the fuck? Let me put this down.
That too.
Let me put down my drink. Oh, shoot. Hold on. Oh, my goodness. Let me take some CBD. Maybe that will counteract the liquor so I can think.
What?
Doesn't the CBD counteract liquor? No. It doesn't? Mm-mm. Oh, I thought it sobers you up. That's why I be getting fucked up. I'm thinking it's fixing it.
No.
And it made it worse.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I thought
No.
I thought the weed was like a upper, and the liquor was a downer. It wasn't. They just both take you down.
Yeah, CBD's no. Okay. Different receptors. No.
Well, that's what I thought was helping me. Mm-mm.
Try to be drunk in the head and loose in the body.
Just ready.
Well, moving on. Mm-hmm. Billy D. Williams is gender fluid. Billy D. Williams.
Billy D. Williams. Sorry, he's
about liquor and bullet whiskey.
He's gender fluid.
At 83.
It's something about, I guess it's an awakening that's happening and no matter your age. Because Caitlin.
At 65.
Is 65. And Billy is 83. I mean, he's definitely knocking at the door.
Well, you know, I think it's a combination of up until now, you couldn't really have those conversations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, and you ain't got much time left, so might as well.
And also because I think this I saw a comment online on Twitter and said, thank God this is happening so people can't blame it on my generation. And I wanted to say something to say, well, actually it can be blamed on your generation. It's not a blame because it's not negative, number mm-hmm. one. But it can be associated with your generation because the generation has created an environment where people that are 65 and 80 some feel comfortable enough now mm-hmm. to come out and tell their truth. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that Billy D, after all this time, would come out and say you can call him a he or her, right? Mm-hmm. And that's more like gender nonconforming, gender mm-hmm. fluidity. That's what I am. Like sometimes, you know, I feel my bush days are coming to an end. You know, like I feel like, you know, I was in the gym, I was working out and I was doing that moment and they saw the pictures and stuff of me being more muscular. Mm-hmm. And I'm also feeling like now for some reason, my spirit, I'm going back to femininity.
Yeah. And that's fine.
I'm saying that's how my spirit feels. And I think people need to understand that those type of people exist. And what we're seeing is that they exist. In some ways is similar to bisexuality. Is that you don't have to choose in terms of what sex you are attracted to, as well as you don't have to choose what gender you want to be associated with. Mm. I am flowing. I feel like it just depends. I mean, and I, for some reason, I'm just being honest. We on the podcast telling the truth. I feel
the tides are turning.
The tides are turning back to B. Scott in the makeup and the hair and all of it.
So don't you like a high? There we go.
You might get it.
Okay.
It ain't no telling.
All right.
I'm just like, you know what? I feel like doing more cardio. I might go back vegan. I don't know.
We'll see.
Or I might butcher. I don't know. I might go, my body, like, it just depends. Like, sometimes I just feel like my spirit just wants to be free to do what it wants to do.
And it should be. I think that's beautiful.
And so when I saw Billy Dee, I was like, oh. And I know it hit my mama hard.
Fuck.
And I'm thinking, maybe through Billy Dee, my mother can finally understand me.
Because
my mama is, she's about to be 76 this year. And her and Billy Dee, she used to think Billy Dee was the finest man on earth. And now for her to see that Billy Dee, and I know they talked about it on Fox News. And now to see that Billy Dee is now gender fluid. She's going to understand me. She's going to be like,
That's going to be the awakening.
It's going to be the awakening. She didn't really get it. She I'm her child. She kind of got it. Mm-hmm. But it took, sometimes it takes a person that you thought was your sex symbol to realize that he was actually, you know, just like your son. That's just kind of in the middle, shaking it up with a little spice and everything nice.
Well, see, now I really want like a memoir from Billy Dee Williams. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to know what his life has been like and how he's been living, you know, behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Not that it's my business, but I just really would like to hear that.
And I feel like it's important. I said this before on the show, and I want to say it again. I want my love muffins that are listening to the show that may be gender nonconforming and may be gender fluid, and you don't have to choose. You don't have to make, you know, people used to say to me a lot, like, you know, you're so pretty and you this, and why don't you just go on and transition? And why don't you, you know, and now even that word has changed. It's called gender affirming.
Affirmation.
Gender affirmation. So why don't you go ahead and do your gender affirmation and whatever. Because I didn't want to do my gender affirmation surgery.
I'm affirmed in my gender as it is.
Yes. I never felt like there's anything wrong with me.
Yeah.
You know, I never felt like, you know what I mean? I never felt like I needed to change anything about myself or affirm anything about myself. I think, you know, I have affirmed it for myself that I'm okay with myself. It's just my expression.
Mm-hmm.
I choose to express myself some days more masculine and some more days feminine. And that's how I choose to do it. And my love muffins who are listening and they see people making a choice, just make sure that if you make that choice for yourself, that's something you want to do, not something that you feel like society or people you look up to are doing. Because you are the one that's going to have to deal with the realities and the things associated to whatever you decide to do, not them.
It's a good word.
And that's important because that's, I feel like that was a part of the reason why I wasn't that supported when the whole BET thing happened was because I was not transsexual. Like I hadn't had my gender affirmation surgery. So they didn't, you know, people were like, well, we don't want to confuse people. At that time, you know, gender fluidity and gender nonconforming was not talked about or understood at any, on any level.
No.
And so they're like, well, we just don't want to confuse people, so we can't really support this because you know, B. Scott is not the transgender person, because I'm still a part of the transgender community. B. Scott is not the transgender face we want to be associated with our movement. And that is the truth. And so now I just feel like I just want people to know, like with Billy Dee, you know, if he, whatever he, you know, he's gender fluid, that means he doesn't have to choose. It doesn't mean that he didn't come out and say he wants to be a woman.
No.
Or
that is not his truth.
That he wanted to have gender affirmation surgery. He didn't say that. And people who want that is perfectly fine. That's great. Kudos. Do it. But there are a lot of people who don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people in between, and they should have a right to be in between. And I think that's what it represents. A lot of people that we will be surprised if people would really let it be known how they feel on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
My spirit on the inside is what makes me express myself on the outside. My spirit on the inside just feels really, honestly, I feel like I'm somewhere in between. Like, I can't explain it. Like, I just can't, and just like, I don't really feel like a man, don't really feel like a woman. Kind of just feel like just, B. Scott.
Yeah,
I kind of feel like B. Scott. I kind of just like, I don't know, shit. I mean, I just like, I don't know how to feel like somebody that's not me, because I just always felt like this.
Mm.
You know, I did. And even when I was young, I was like, my mom came home one day, I was in her closet. I don't know. You know what's funny? This is the funny thing I realized. In my K. Michelle interview, not only did we wear similar colors, and I had like a zebra print something. I had some type of something.
A wrap dress. DVF moment.
A DVF moment wrap. And she had on a white and black dress too. But it made it just recently, because the company we're working with on the site Ad Network put up the interview mm-hmm. as a part of this ad videos thing. And I had a flashback of when I was younger, and I had put on, when I was little, I had put on one of my mama's dresses, and that dress was white and black.
But wasn't like the same.
It was like a 60s. It was a wrap. It was like a wrap moment. It was a wrap moment, but it was like the 60s. So it was like a 60s dress.
Yeah, very mod.
Not that I grew up in the 80s, but my mom still had the dress from the 60s. And so I had put the dress on. It had like squares and stuff on it. I just remember being like weird
super
shapes.
Super mod.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I remember just like she had went. She's like, bye, I'm going to work. I was like, yes, I'm going to the closet. And I went in her closet and I put the dress on and I put heels on. And I felt like, oh, this is right.
Mm.
Or closer to right than how I had been forced to dress. And then I would do things like I knew I couldn't put color nail polish on my hands.
Mm.
So I would put clear nail polish on my feet.
I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, I couldn't put no polish on my hands because they would see that. So I would put clear nail polish on my toes, and then I would cover them with socks all the time. So that way I knew that I had the clear nail polish on, but no one else could know. And then one day I had forgot that I had the clear nail polish on, and I was playing around climbing. You were in the South, you have a garage and you have these poles. And you would climb the pole just for fun. Little kids would do it at the top and touch the top of the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was climbing the pole and my sister came up and she said, come here, boy. And I was like, what? And I was going through all the things I had maybe had done. I was like, right. I ain't do nothing. And then she said, let me see your foot.
You're like, oh, shit.
Oh, shit. And then I showed her my foot. She said, mm-hmm. And then she walked in the house and she didn't say nothing to my mom. And in that moment, I felt like someone saw me and didn't judge me. And because she smiled, she's like, and smiled and went on to the house like it was nothing.
Not my business,
but it's okay. You know what I mean? It's fine. Because if it was something bad, she would have told my mom. And so I just think that this journey of expression and journey of feelings and things for a lot of people goes a long way back and oftentimes to childhood. And it is nice to see Billy Dee Williams and, you know, Caitlyn Jenner and whoever else. And I think, you know, as time goes on, more and more people are going to be surprised at the revelations that come forward.
I'd agree.
And that's empowering to me too. It's like, you know, when it comes to that, I'm not surprised about none of it. Because I have seen.
Yeah, that didn't surprise me.
I have seen a lot of things.
Didn't surprise me.
I have seen a lot of things. A lot of stuff has been going on. And I just wish more people would come out. Yeah, I wish more people come out and also just be who they are.
Yeah.
And if they do that, then the world would be a much better place. And then it would cause a lot more, like a lot more understanding between the different generations. Because I trust and believe my mother gets it now. She has to. Because Billy Dee was like her thing. I think at one point she had like a Colt 45 picture or something.
Oh, Jesus.
Like she loves some Billy Dee.
Oh, God.
And my mama didn't drink a day in her life.
But she had that one.
She had the Colt 45 picture or something. Like something about Billy Dee Williams. She loves some Billy Dee.
Lord.
And now Billy Dee is not a he. It's like a he and
he's a he and he, a she.
And she. And he said that's what he prefers, right?
Yeah. Or he said, didn't call me either.
And then I saw another person on Twitter talking about, you know, I think Billy Dee might be confused. I was like, confusing. I'm like, don't be. That's the whole point about identity.
Right.
It's how I identify. And it's not for you to comment on. That's how I feel about it. I mean, that's the whole point. If you think about identity, it's like I identify this way. It's not a you-dinity. You don't have the right to identify me. And that even when I'm telling you something, love my business, I'm going to preach right here. Even when it comes to your own damn community, your own community don't have the right to identify you. You don't tell me. I have people in the LGBT community tell me who the fuck I am.
Mm.
Tell me what I should be, what I should do to my body. No, you don't have the right. You only have the right to do what you need to do to your body. Okay.
All right.
Now I'm done with that topic.
Okay.
This show got personal today.
On a lighter note, the Pussycat Dolls are back together.
Mm-hmm.
That made me happy.
I love the Pussycat Dolls.
Me too.
And more importantly, I love Nicole.
Me too. I do not like what she did to her lips, though.
Yeah.
I will say that.
I hadn't noticed that, but I just love Nicole.
I'll say it. I don't like it.
Years ago, I went to, I think it was a Rihanna party or a Rihanna birthday party or a Nicole party. I don't know. It's been so long ago. But I remember seeing them both at the same time. That was before I really became B. Scott. That's before Rihanna did her like, hey, B. Scott video. And also me and Rihanna hung out. All that came later. There was a time period where I was just starting out and I went to this party in Hollywood and Nicole and Rihanna was there. And Rihanna was super fun and nice or whatever. But I was just super struck by how gorgeous Nicole was in person.
Oh, it's crazy.
It just took me off guard.
It's crazy.
I was like, you might be really Pocahontas.
Which makes me think I need to see those lips in person because they may not be settled. What they're giving.
Yeah.
I mean,
also might not be settled yet. Or
that's true.
I haven't seen the lips. I didn't focus on it. All I saw was the performance of them and they were killing it.
She was a little winded.
Oh, yeah.
But then she said they just got back together the week before. I was like, oh, well, that makes sense.
But she always was winded.
I mean, she was.
She always was winded. I think that, you know, they need the same production that Beyoncé and Destiny Child has.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So like
the backing track.
She doesn't that, but also just knowing when to, you know, when you can speak and when you can breathe because you know, the backing track covers certain parts and then it creates the illusion
that you're doing the whole thing.
The whole thing live because you are just waiting for the part that you can sing. You know what I mean? So I think she needs a little bit more of that.
They'll get it.
But the dancing was amazing.
It was. They're going on tour.
And then I saw a lot of people talking about Melly not being part of the group.
Mm.
And I also saw Melody's explanation as to why she's not going to be a part of the group.
Mm-hmm.
And her explanation for not being a part of the group was that initially when she joined the group, she thought that it was going to be two lead singers or like two leads that lead parts in songs that could be switched off.
She could sing.
Right. And I'm not doubting her truth, but I just don't think, I don't ever see a world, and I think it kind of played out in front of all the media and in her life, a world where Nicole would not be the lead singer.
Well, then let's talk about this, because I feel very strongly about this situation. In the very first page of the very first Pussycat Dolls album booklet, it clearly says, all lead and background vocals sung by Nicole Scherzinger. In bold print. It's right there, right?
Huge.
Huge. So that happened.
I do remember that.
And then they let her, you know, do some ad-libs in the studio, which were fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then when she got on stage, she sounded terrible. A hot mess. There's clips. She's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So then it came time to do the second album.
Mm-hmm.
Half of those songs were leftovers from Nicole's scrapped solo album that they just put on there. And they were like, oh, we need more Pussycat Dolls music. Here you go.
Yep.
So I don't know at what point Melody thought that she was going to get to do something that she didn't sign up to do.
Right.
I don't know.
I think that's the way she's running with it now because in this climate, being a black woman who was in the Pussycat Dolls and she's no longer in the dolls and like she can get support that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's her angle because to me, it's been very clear.
And it's weird. People like to come for Nicole, but she's a classically trained operatic singer. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget that.
And can dance her ass off. And she just so happened to be like drop dead gorgeous.
So I just...
Like when you were looking at all of them girls, even when they were back all together, the eye just naturally focused on Nicole.
That and they always... But if you go back and watch the Buttons video, they have Melody directly behind Nicole, so you don't see her at all.
And it actually works better now without Melody in it.
Yep.
Because it's two girls on each side.
Yeah.
I was like, I was wondering in the lineup when they all were popping up.
Oh, because there were six?
Yeah. Because if Melody popped up, where would she go? It would be three on one side and two on the other.
That's how they used to do.
It creates an imbalance.
That's how they... Yeah.
It's kind of like with Beyonce and Destiny. How would you ever think Beyonce wasn't the lead singer? Just.
You see, you at the rehearsals, you in the studio, you know what you know.
I'm just saying, like, how would you ever think? It's laughable. And not to mention, I'm going to tell the truth and let the Lord love my heart. And Melody was off key a lot.
That's what I was saying. Do your YouTubes.
A lot of times she was loud and wrong.
Get on your YouTubes.
That's a lot of people. Now, even too, I mean, there's a lot of loud and wrong out there. But if y'all know who I'm talking about. But it's a lot of loud and wrong. And Melody, oftentimes, sometimes she got it right. Actually, there was a recent clip of her singing something recently that was great.
No.
But back in the day.
Was it her own song?
I do not know. I think it was her. I think it was her new song. She has a new song that she put out.
She's had a couple over the last 10 years.
But it's a recent one.
No.
It's a recent one that she put out. And Nicole did too. Just to be fair.
Oh, yeah.
Nicole did a belly flop. Yeah. Like anything she did solo, it was like it did double nothing, nowhere, none, no, nope, never.
Because you need the girls.
Right. It was disastrous.
Don't fuck up the formula. When you have something that works, don't fuck with it.
And very few people can pull something off by themselves. Mm-hmm. And you need to have proven that you could do it. Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying? Like you can't just, I mean, it's a miracle. You know, like, I mean, very seldom does a Diana Ross situation, Supreme situation happen. Very seldom a Beyonce and Destiny Child situation happen. And you see that with Nicole and the Pussycat Dolls. Mm-hmm. Nicole needs to be with the Pussycat Dolls.
The brand is half of it.
It has to be. Because, I mean, she's just not strong enough. Mm. Those days of being, you know, having that, you know what I mean? It just works. And she realized it. And I hope that for her sake, it's not too late.
No. Well, then I read that, you know, for her to come back, she had to get a percentage of the branding rights. And she purchased them from the group's founder. So now she's actually going to make money this time.
It makes sense.
That she didn't have before. Mm. And that's what took so long for them to agree to do it.
Right.
Because they tried to do it without her. And tried to do a new Pussycat Dolls. And that didn't
work.
With new
girls and all that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think they all kind of realized this is what it needs to be to get you where you need to go. Mm-hmm. For sure. Well, so, I think, I mean, anything else you want to discuss that we need to talk about? I did see that, you know.
Lori.
Lori's
back with Future.
Yeah. Lori's doing her thing. And I definitely.
She's always doing all the things.
She's doing all the things. And she's doing it the way she wants to do it. And she's doing it like a dude.
Yeah.
If she was a dude, we wouldn't be talking about her right now. Mm-mm. She would be doing what she's doing and nobody would even be concerned. But the fact that she is a 22-year-old, beautiful girl.
Beautiful
girl, the daughter of, well, you know, Steve Harvey.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that, you know, people are talking about it. And I think, do your thing, girl. Treat these men like they would have treated you if you let them.
Basically.
I still can't understand how she got away from Diddy, though. Because typically they don't get away from Diddy that fast.
Steve Harvey. The money.
Steve just snatched her up.
Yeah. You know, Diddy can control people who need him. Mm. She didn't need him.
Ooh, that's a word. Diddy can control people who need him. AKA Cassie needed him
and
for a long time.
She didn't need him.
Yeah. No, but Cassie saved up her money. She wrote a song about it.
She did.
She said if people
knew
how much
attitudes might change.
And her attitude changed.
She's so happy.
Her attitude changed. She got pregnant.
Just do any day.
Or whatever that big old belly.
Do any day.
With that white man.
Oh, wait, are we gonna talk about Omarion in this Millennium Tour?
But we can get to Omarion in the Millennium Tour, but we need to talk about Portia taking her man back.
Oh, yeah. They're re-engaged.
Portia is now re-engaged with Dennis after I caught up with all the episodes of Housewives Atlanta because I'm preparing for my interview with Cynthia. Mm-hmm. Because I was kind of in and out of it, you know, whatever. So last night I sat down and watched like probably 5 episodes back to back, however many there was out. Mm. And the last one, she was just crying about Dennis and then he went to therapy and he admitted that the fact that he had cheated on her. Mm-hmm. And she's very, I mean, at the show this season is very emotional.
It's very emotional. I've been emotional.
Emotional. Everybody crying. They're crying back to back. It's like cutting from one crying scene to the next time.
And then you got the babies crying.
Yeah, the babies crying. Everybody can't be happy. Kenya crying because she getting disrespected by Mark. You know, Portia crying because she getting disrespected by Dennis. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like, you know, Candy and her man might be getting into it at some point. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of just getting into it going on. But anyway, so she's on, after that episode aired, she was on Watch What Happens Live. And on Watch What Happens Live is when Portia said that she has re-engaged. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that was a thing. Is that a new term? Gonna be re-engaged?
You get engaged and you call it off and then it's back on.
No, that
he
means
did propose in Toronto.
Let me tell you this. No. If you, that's a new engagement. I need a new ring.
That's how I feel too, personally.
No. If you break the bond of the old ring and I keep that ring though.
Yep.
I keep that ring and then you have to repropose with a new ring. And then I can take that other ring and make it into a necklace or some diamond studs, earrings, whatever the case may be. Liquidate it, put it up my butt. I don't care.
No matter.
I'm just saying. you need to give me another ring.
I agree.
Quit playing with me. And I'm not going to call it re-engage. I mean, he proposed again, and so we're engaged. And this is my new ring. That's how that should have went.
Yep.
But since she probably purchased the last ring.
Shit. I mean, how many hot dogs is he selling?
I'm not sure he's selling hot dogs in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Well, we did.
Woo. And on that note, I think we have done enough.
We'll end it, yeah.
We have done enough. We have went up, down, side to side, and things of that nature. Love Muffins, thank you so much for listening and supporting us. And,
yes.
You know, if there's any some topics you want us to talk about, you know, be sure to hit us up on Twitter and let us know. But I think, you know, hitting the Gabrielles and the other top stories. You see anything else you want to talk about? Not really.
No, Chico DeBarge got arrested for meth, but
the way the drugs have a hold on that family, it's just a hold. It's just like, I mean, in meth, let me tell you something. When you get to the point of doing meth, you're on your last leg. Mm. And then you know what the crazy part about that story? Let me tell you about the craziest part about that story. The craziest part of the story is that he came to the attention of the police because he was trying to break into his own car because he had left his key. He had locked himself out of his car. And that is exactly something a meth head would do.
Well, wait,
no. I'm saying, but...
I locked myself out of a car.
Yes, but I'm just saying, but to then go there with a piece of wire is pushing it.
Yeah. I mean, just call it AAA or... whatever.
So that's how he got, that's the caveat of the story that tickled me. I was like, so he wouldn't have even gotten busted had he not came to the attention of the police officers who thought he was breaking into the car. Okay. Once they, you know, addressed him and tried to figure out what he was doing, they found the meth in his pockets.
Right.
Meth. And I would hate to see, because the picture we posted was not a recent picture.
No.
I would hate to see the mugshot because meth would be knocking your teeth out. Mm-hmm. It would be sinking in your face.
Little skin things.
Oof. Okay, I don't think we ended the show any better. Okay,
we
so
we
and on this note, Love Muffin, thank you so much for listening to the show. Until next time, double kisses. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to The B. Scott Show. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Love B. Scott. And make sure you review the show on iTunes. And you can always find me on lovebscott.com.